You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by the MLB.com Shop.
Welcome to MLB.com Extras, the Los Angeles Dodgers. I am Allison Twitter from MLB.com, and I am joined by my colleague Ken Gernick, covers the Dodgers for MLB.com and is in the final stages of the offseason before he heads to spring training. So, Ken, I kind of wanted this week if we could focus a little bit on the back end of the rotation. It hasn't really gotten a lot of attention. There's certainly a lot of things that people have been talking about this offseason with the Dodgers. But they really wanted to add some pitchers that had better raw stuff. They had Dan Heron last year, Roberto Hernandez. But they've replaced them with Brandon McCarthy and Brett Anderson. And Brandon McCarthy, they made a real significant investment in him. And so did you see that as an upgrade? I mean, you watched them all last year and saw the ups and downs. Do you feel like the back end of the rotation is in a better place?
Well, I guess if both McCarthy and Anderson, you know, are able to stay healthy, then it probably will be an upgrade. I guess the question is, will they stay healthy? Especially Anderson, who really hasn't had a healthy season. He had 8 or 9 starts last year that were really good, but he had 2 bad injuries, and the most recent one was back surgery, and he's just beginning to throw. So I would say they're going to have to be careful with him in spring training just to make sure that he's able to start the regular season. McCarthy, on the other hand, he had a kind of a tough first half with Arizona, but he really stepped up with the Yankees in the second half. Now, both pitchers have history with the new Dodgers general manager, Farhan Zaidi. So, you know, that's part of the reason that they are comfortable with both of these players, is they feel confident that both of them have put their injuries behind them and they're ready to perform up to their capabilities. And if they do, then it probably will be, it will be an upgrade from last year, because last year, while Dan Heron took the ball and pitched well, the fifth starter situation was a problem because Josh Beckett couldn't stay healthy. In the first half, he was really good, through a no-hitter. But they lost him at the break. And then it was, as you mentioned, just trying to plug the hole. Roberto Hernandez and just a series of pitchers trying to step up and taking spot starts. So it's all going to be about health, but they've got 5 solid, well-paid starters, and if they're all healthy, the Dodgers still will have probably as deep a rotation as any team in baseball.
And, of course, there's always, when you start spring training, there's always, whatever extra guys that are sort of in the mix for starting jobs. It creates depth, of course, most of them get options to AAA, but what would some of their options be for a plan B if in case of injury? I mean, are there any sort of starting pitchers knocking on the door in that way?
Well, they were hoping there would be. Zach Lee is the young pitcher coming through the system that they really had the highest hopes for, but he really took a step back last year. So this will be a spring training where he really needs more than anything to reestablish himself as a prospect. They did make a few trades. They got Mike Bolsinger from Arizona, who's got some major league experience. They used Carlos Frias a little bit last year. And, you know, they also traded for Juan Nicasio, who never has been able to fulfill his potential in Colorado. And this past season actually pitched better once they moved him to the bullpen. And I think the Dodgers will start out expecting him to be sort of a swing man, a multi-innings pitcher in the bullpen. But, you know, if things got drastic, I think that they could get a spot start out of him. I think more than anything, and they also have Joe Wieland, who came over from San Diego coming off, he missed 2 years with elbow surgery, so he's a question mark. But really, when you talk about the Dodgers, I think if they were to have an injury to one of their big three guys, I think they would be then in the trade market for a Cole Hamels or a frontline starter. So I think what they have in depth behind is just on a spot basis. But if you're talking about replacing a top starter for months at a time, they're going to have to go out and get somebody.
Right. they're still in a much better position than a lot of teams would love to be in their position just from a depth standpoint, just for the guys that they're starting out with. But let's get behind the plate for a second. You know, you hear a lot about A.J. Ellis being this steady presence behind the plate, but Yasmani Grandal is just an upgrade offensively, switch hitter, but he's not as good defensively. So do you have any feeling? I know that these things kind of work themselves out as spring training progresses and even as the season starts, but I know A.J. Ellis and Clayton Kershaw have that battery mate relationship, very close friends. Do you see it kind of being an even split, or is this something that's just going to have to, they're going to have to figure it out as they go along?
Well, I'm sure that management didn't make the Matt Kemp trade getting Grandal thinking he was just going to be a platoon guy. I'm sure management figures that he's younger, has more power, that he'll emerge as, if not an everyday catcher, get the predominant playing time. But I think that the staff hasn't given up on A.J. Ellis. He knows the pitching staff better, and that's going to take some time for Grandal to get acclimated with the pitching staff. So, I could see a 60-40, 65-35 kind of split with Grandal, but I don't think you're going to see A.J. Ellis become, either just Clayton Kershaw's personal catcher or a once or twice a week catcher, unless Grandal really goes off offensively, which is possible, and Ellis, repeats that 191 average from last year. So, as you said, it'll probably just have to play out. But I think going in, management probably expects Grandal to take most of the catching, but not necessarily all of it.
Yeah, I mean, they can downplay the significance of a batting average with a catcher because, of course, his main job is to really be a good receiver for the pitcher and run the games and really know what's going on. But a 191 average, that had to be alarming for just about everybody.
Well, it is, and you're also looking at a lineup that has lost Matt Kemp and Hanley Ramirez. So, they hope to pick up most of that offense by upgrading in other areas, second base, behind the plate, for example. So, they can't really go into the season saying, well, we just want A.J. Ellis to catch every day and we'll take whatever offense we get. So they felt that they had to upgrade there, whether A.J. hits better or the playing time goes to Grandal.
Now, there's another player that you don't hear a whole lot about, but it's often the players that nobody's ever heard of that are in a trade that end up being kind of, having a pretty good impact. And Enrique Hernandez, who goes by the nickname of Kike, what have you heard about him? And I say that having known a little bit about him because he was a sixth rounder from with the Astros in 2009 in their draft. He's only 23 years old, and they brought him up briefly last season. The guy can play anywhere, infield or outfield, and he's this dynamic player who's just all over the place and diving here and there and has a great attitude. Have you heard anything about him or anything that the people in the organization might have said about him?
Well, I think that Enrique Hernandez and also Austin Barnes, and they both came over in the trade from Miami, they both are very versatile players. They can play around at multi-positions. Barnes mostly catching and second base. Hernandez can play the infield positions. He can play outfield. Hernandez is coming off a really impressive Caribbean series, and a lot of scouts see him as that kind of multi-talented, super utility guy, maybe a little short as far as tools to be an everyday starter at any one position. He puts the ball in play. He's a smart player, a smart hitter. Whether he could emerge as maybe an everyday player in years to come, I don't know that that's really why they made that trade, but they do think that being in the National League, on a team that's now going to be really exploiting metrics and matchups, that he could definitely fill a hole on a 25-man roster. And whether that's, for opening day in April, maybe not. They've got Justin Turner. They've got Darwin Barney. Those are veteran infielders, one more defense, one more offense. But if either of those are hurt, I think they feel more comfortable bringing up a Hernandez or a Barnes than the players that they had a year ago. So I think that's really how they view both Hernandez and Austin Barnes.
Looking over just the entire division, we'll end with this. It always comes down to the Dodgers and the Giants every year. They're the ones that are in the race as the dogfight in September. Now the Padres look to be a player. They did a lot of offensive upgrades, and that was all well and good. But now that they signed James Shields, it seems like they really have to be considered a little bit more legitimate. Do you see this as being a three-team race? Do you think that that's just going to be something that we might see for the next couple of years? It's kind of hard to say, but the Dodgers and Giants didn't really take any steps back, and there seems to be like a third team in town now.
Yeah, I mean, that sure is the buzz going into spring training, and they also seem to be real interested in being active with the Cuban players that are coming up. And as the Dodgers showed with Puig, one player, whether it's Cuban or wherever, but it's somebody out of nowhere who can really lift your club, as Puig did the Dodgers. And so they do seem to be going for it, and I think you see a lot of the teams when they change front offices, they don't do that to keep the status quo. You know, the Dodgers won 94 games last year, but they basically blew up their roster. And the Padres, on the other hand, are trying to win 94 games, and they blew up their roster. I think that there'll be a lot of second-guessing afterwards if the Padres go on and win the division with Matt Kemp leading them. But the Dodgers felt compelled to make that trade. Trading within the division, it just adds another layer of intrigue. To the Padres, the budding Dodger-Padre rivalry.
Should be interesting to watch. Okay, Ken, thank you so much. We'll be talking to you soon.
Visit the official online shop of Major League Baseball at MLB.com/shop for the largest selection of authentic caps, T-shirts, jerseys, hoodies, collectibles, and more. Get your gear straight from the source, the MLB.com shop.